Okay, so hi, first of all.
What up? I haven't seen you. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling okay. I don't know if you can still hear. I'm a little. It sounds like I'm a little congested still. I don't know. To me, it does. Like my head voice feels like it's congested.
Yeah, it takes about a week.
But I don't feel anything. Like my nose is fine, but it is what it is. Okay, so we were talking pre-show, and I know you've told me a couple times lately about your tenant issues. And I think you said you had a Mike's Mad Minute for me. Is that, am I right?
Yep, pretty much.
Okay, so a Mike's Mad Minute coming now.
Mike's Mad Minute.
All right, so Buck JEA, holy shit. You try calling these assholes downtown? Yesterday I tried calling them around 3:45. I waited 42 minutes on hold.
Oh my goodness.
And then as soon as 4:30 hit, call drops. Ah, I wonder why. So I call right back again. And I wait 25 minutes. And then I hang up because I'm like, fuck this. But the thing is, their hours are till 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what? They're not going to answer. Fuck this. So I call them today around 2:40 today. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 1:45. I wait on the phone 47 fucking minutes because I have to get my power turned on because I had to kick out my tenant.
Oh, okay. So that's what it was for?
Yeah, because you can't turn the power on online. I try to do that. It says...
Can you turn it off online?
Yeah, you can turn it off, but you can't turn it on.
Oh, love that.
Yeah, so you have to call 904-665-6000.
I know that number by heart.
Yeah, to turn on the power or turn on electric services. So while I'm on the phone call with this lady, after 47 minutes of waiting.
Okay, so you got a human.
I finally got someone.
Good.
Halfway through, I thought the call dropped again. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So after I get someone, she's asking information, normal stuff, address, name, date of birth, all that good stuff. She then tells me, she was like, would you like to start your power up today or tomorrow? I said, today, if possible. She said, well, that'd be $25 to start up same day. I'm like, excuse me? And she said, yeah, it's a standard fee that GAA charges to start up fee if you start up same day after 12 p.m. But if you do $10 if you do same day before 12 p.m., it'd be $10. So I'm like, wait, what would it be tomorrow? She said it'd be $10 because it'd be before 12 p.m. I'm like, so you're telling me I have to pay a $10 fee or a $25 fee to start up my service? She said, yeah. I'm like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So worth it. She said, It's added to your bill, which I'm like, okay, that's fine. But like, why do you get charged to start up a fucking electricity service?
They can do whatever they want. They're a monopoly. I mean, it's just like FPL. I mean, we're thankful we don't have FPL. Because they're a mess too. We could have Nate Monroe come on and talk about how much of a mess they are, but stalking him and stuff.
That's
so wild to me. But anyway, they are the electricity provider for the city of Jacksonville, and they can get away with whatever they want.
And you know what she says? Like, she asked me, is there anything else that I can help you with? I said, other than the fact that I waited 45 minutes today to get to you and then almost an hour yesterday. No, everything else is fine. She said, yeah, we've been extremely busy. I was thinking she was going to say last day, last 2 days. She said the last 3 months. It's been, I'm like, yeah, no wonder because you guys are price gouging everyone.
Yeah, and they're probably severely understaffed because no one wants to go in there and get yelled at the phone for 8-9 hours a day, which totally understandable. But at the same time, yeah, no, it's trash. And I'm sorry you had to deal with that.
And now I'm just hoping my power comes on tomorrow. So I'm really hoping the power comes on tomorrow, because if not, I'm going to be stuck on hold for probably 2 hours.
Still looking for someone to live there?
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I haven't started to look for a new tenant.
Hey, if any listeners, you know, looking for a place to live, hit up Mike. He's your guy.
Yeah.
Not just at his place that he has currently. But
if you're looking to buy or sell real estate, hit me up.
Little plug right
but
there.
I even tried reaching out to JEA on Twitter. I'm like, I've been trying to get in contact with someone for 2 days, and the wait time is 2 hours. Their Twitter response is quicker than their fucking phone call.
Yeah, because their Twitter account, as someone in media, okay, I get a little...
No, I know, but then she...
It's a media, the social media people. They're not the same people answering the phones.
No, I know that. Then she said, did you know you can start service online without the need to speak with a customer advisor? That was never discussed on their website.
Oh, that's
so,
not good.
So, JEA, you can kiss my ass. Fuck JEA. And I, oh my God, I hope I don't have to deal with them ever again. But I know I have to because fuck JEA.
As long as you live here, you will.
God, that was miserable this past 2 days trying to get my service set up.
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry about that. I don't look forward to having to do that whenever I go to my next place. I'm here for another year, so woohoo. I'm content. But hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 79.
Fuck JEA, man.
79. Any notable 79s?
I know.
All right. I have to look it up now because we can't go empty-handed. Empty-handed, excuse me.
Are we talking about Jaguars or just in general?
Just in general.
I was going to say Luka Doncic, please, 77.
Yeah, no. Let's see. Is Luke Fortner 79? Luke Fortner, 79. Okay, here we go. Countdown. Thank you, John Shipley, for making an article of every player that's worn every number ever. Corey Robinson in 2018. Let's
Tony
see. Tony Paschos.
Oh, Reggie.
The hold machine. Different Reggie Nelson.
I was going to say not that Reggie. Or Dave Wydell.
Dave Wydell, yeah. Corinne Wydell's father. Had her in my X mod. I was about to say freshman year. Yeah, no, freshman year.
Yeah, because you were at Kenya for 2 years.
Yeah, and I remember we wore, you know, we had jersey day, and she came in with a Wydell jersey, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. How'd you do that? And it's like, it's my dad. So I was like, oh, I didn't know your dad played in the NFL. My bad. yeah, Tony Paschos. God, I hated that guy. I remember I'm almost positive they did an interview with him in the Times Union, and he said his favorite food was ranch. And I was just like,
that is such an
disgusting.
Offensive lineman in offensive lineman answer.
I can't be 100% sure on that, but I'm almost positive.
Red Bryant was a terrible free agent signing too. I remember that.
Yeah,
from the Seahawks.
Yeah, not great. We'll have some better luck as number 80 rolls around. But yeah, welcome. I'm glad to be back. Thank you guys for holding down the fort without me.
Man, that was rough editing by me. There was no editing because. The system we use, I get, or it might have been my fault.
No, you did edit because you told me you were, and I know you were. I just think there was just an issue.
I may have uploaded the wrong file, so if it sounded not, obviously there was no music being played, no intro or outro music. So that was on me, on the editing and double checking that.
It's okay.
But, oh, well, yeah, we held on the fort.
It is what it is, and I appreciate you guys, and. You know, we'll get right back into the swing of things. Obviously, Skyler is not here with us today. He has a mobile event at Coastal, so we're going to go ahead and start the local update without him. Or local update. The Sunshine State Roundup without him. We'll do the local update without him, too, I suppose.
And the episode.
And the episode. But okay, I'm going to let you start things off.
All right, I'm going to start down in Coral Gables or wherever the hell they play. Miami, they went up to Atlanta this weekend. They took on Georgia Tech, and hey, guess what? They finally scored a touchdown.
All right.
They won 35-14, and they go to Death Valley this weekend in North Carolina and play. Or, I'm sorry, South Carolina. They play Clemson, and we'll get smoked up this upcoming weekend.
I'd say 52-7 will be the final of that game.
Oh, mark it down.
Oh, I'm only saying that actually because I'm looking at the score of our next two Florida teams. Florida Atlantic Owls put up 52 on the Florida International Panthers. Measly 7 points in the second quarter. Florida Atlantic is looking to finish strong on the season. They have two more opportunities to become bowl eligible. Their best chance will be next week at Middle Tennessee State.
There you go, Willie.
Yeah, you know, we were giving him crap for that three-game lose streak that he had there, but he's turned it around. Yeah, he's got two more opportunities. I said Middle Tennessee, and then they closed the season with Western Kentucky.
All right, going to Willie's former place of residence in Tallahassee, we go to FAMU, and FAMU is currently on a 8-game winning streak, and as they took down Alabama State 21-14, and they now go to Bethune-Cookman this upcoming weekend.
Oof.
And they have just realized they have not lost since Jackson State. So after playing UNC and Jackson State, they've just been winning games. So good job, FAMU.
Closer to the bottom of the SWAC standings is Bethune-Cookman as they lose their third straight to Alcorn State. 17-14 the final in that one. Just not a great season for the Wildcats as they hope to pull off the upset maybe against FAMU, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I'm not expecting it. Going to USF is currently on a 9-game losing streak after losing to SMU, the Ponies. I don't think that's their, I don't know what their team name is, but
SMU Mustangs.
Mustangs, thank you. I just know the Pony Express, the 30 for 30 documentary. Yeah. But they lose 41-23 to SMU, and then they head to Tulsa this upcoming weekend. Just a bad season in Tampa right now for the Bulls.
Ed Waters, 3 straight wins. A team that we wrote off so early this season finishes their season, actually. The season just ended. They finished 5-6, 4-4 in the conference by defeating the Allen University. It looks like Jackets, I assume. They were only 1-8, but they win that game 38-12, only allowing a couple field goals in the first and second half.
All right, wrapping up the Sunshine. I think it's wrapping up.
Yeah.
We're going to go to another team who scored 38 points in a win. UCF went to Tulane and got the dub in the AAC showdown. The winner is now is the highest ranked a group of 5 teams in the new college football playoff. I'm not predicting it. I just know it's a fact because Tulane and UCF were the 2 highest ranked teams. But now UCF with the win will get the higher edge, and they are looking prime for a New Year's Six bowl. Good. Next up on UCF, I don't know about that. I don't care for UCF.
I know you don't. I like them.
Yeah. Next up for UCF, they go back to the bounce house, play this Saturday against the midshipmen of Navy.
Okay. Well, there you have it. That is our Sunshine State roundup. Almost complete for the season. You know, we got a couple weeks left for some of these other teams. Ed Waters did wrap things up already, so. But we got the big dogs that aren't that big this year, but big enough, you know, in Florida and Florida State coming up now. So, Florida, 38 points, only allowing South Carolina a couple field goals, I think, in the second quarter. Or no, it was a touchdown. Excuse me. They did not get the 2-point conversion. I didn't get to watch a lot of this one, as I typically do, but I saw that they were taking care of business, so I kind of just let the TV play while I was not paying attention. But highlight for South Carolina that game, I think, was maybe their fake punt that they executed. But other than that, Spencer Rattler stinks. I mean,
yeah, he might transfer again.
He's just not a very good quarterback. I don't think transferring is going to help him. It's like, it reminds me of that guy that I don't remember his name. He was at Miami for a little bit. He was at, I think, Ohio State, Arizona State. He kept transferring. He was a quarterback. I can't remember his name. The guy just thought he was awesome. He was the kid, I'm pretty sure, who got like the scholarship to USC when he was in like 8th grade.
No, I don't know about USC. I know there was a quarterback that went from Ohio State to Miami. Was it, I can't remember the name either.
All right, I Googled it.
What is it?
Tate Martell.
Oh my God, that bum. I remember he got, he was committed. He was a 5-star. He was so, it was supposed to be really good. I remember when he got transferred to Miami, Miami fans were like, oh he's yeah. good,
this
he's
is
good.
The guy. Yeah.
And he got benched.
He got beat out. No, he got beat out. I'll get to it in a second. So, Washington, he committed to Washington when he was 14 with Steve Sarkisian there. Then he changed his commitment when Sarkisian left for USC to Texas A&M. And then a year later, he changed his mind again, committed to Ohio State, went to Ohio State, redshirted his freshman year, got beat up by Dwayne Haskins, which obviously was the better choice.
Rest in peace.
Yes. And then guess who came in and took his spot? Justin Fields. So he was like, this is stupid, I'm out. So he went to Miami.
God, Tate Martell, that is a name.
And yeah,
did he throw a pass in Miami?
Jaren Williams beat him out. Jaren Williams. Ooh. Then he switched to wide receiver and then back to quarterback, and then he went to UNLV. He retired from football on January 18th, 2022.
God, talk about from riches to rags.
What a mess. Yes, he threw 35 passes, completed 26 of them, had 1 TD in 5 years.
Bust. This is why 5 stars are not guaranteed. Shit.
No. No, absolutely not. I mean, he went to Bishop Gorman. Doesn't mean anything, man. Doesn't mean anything. Anyway.
Go back down, scroll.
Oh, what?
He was the two-time USA Today All-American Offensive Player of the Year in 2016. He was the Gatorade Football Player of the Year in 2016. And he, God, that is awful. Sucks to be that kid.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers didn't lie. 15-0 record, passed for almost 2,400 yards, 41 touchdowns, and then rushed for 1,200 yards and 21 touchdowns. That is, I can't do math, 62 total touchdowns he accounted for? That's incredible. But anyway,
he was a beast in high school, but doesn't work out always.
Yeah, anyway, what were we talking about before?
Talking about how bad Spencer Rattler was. And that was the comparison. Now, I don't think Spencer Rattler is as bad. But...
No. But if he does transfer again, I might have to throw some Tate Martell shade at him. But anyway.
God, that is a name.
Both Florida and South Carolina are bowl eligible. Florida is definitely trending more upward than South Carolina. It was a good win for them. They needed a game from Anthony Richardson where he just came out and played really well.
By the way, there is a chance that could have been Anthony Richardson's last game in the Swamp.
Could be. Yeah, could
now,
be.
I don't know if he'll leave for the NFL.
Let's do some odds here. What do you think? 50-50 that he leaves? I'm leaning more 80-20 that he declares. I think he's going.
I think so too, but I'm gonna put it at 60-40. I think the FSU game does matter to him.
True.
Because he hasn't been a rival. I mean, he didn't play last year. He didn't play against the Noles. He hasn't been a rival yet. So
no.
He may not beat a rival this year. So
that's very true. I mean, we'll see. But good on Florida. They almost had three guys rush for over 100 yards. Richardson was only like 4 yards shy. And yeah, I mean, if this is his last game in the Swamp, it was one to remember. So good for him. But they still have Vanderbilt, who upset Kentucky.
That's
good for them for the first conference win. We were just talking
crap
about
first conference win since 2019.
Very sad, but hey, you got to get one, and they did. Make it two in a row. Why not? Set some records.
I would love to see Vanderbilt. If they beat Florida, that would be incredible.
We better beat them like we beat Miami then, if they lose to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, let's say Florida loses to Vanderbilt. Obviously, I don't think it's going to happen. But if they do, I can see the Florida players just quitting. They're like, okay, this season's over.
They already had some receiver that entered the transfer portal. I don't know who he is. Some white guy that I've never heard of.
Yeah, he's not on the stat sheet, so I don't think.
Yeah, no, he's not on this list. But speaking of Florida State, a team that has not allowed a touchdown in 2 weeks. That's a good feeling. Florida State rolls into Syracuse, and good Lord, did you get to watch any of that?
No.
Oh, man, they took care of business. Jordan Travis, we gave him so much crap when he first became quarterback a couple years back. That man has evolved. This was his, I don't want to say marquee game, but this was one of his best games, just pure throwing. And if you look at the stats, which a lot of you will be like, oh, well, he only threw for 155 yards. That's because Syracuse gave us such good field position every time we had the ball. He didn't have to throw for Patrick Mahomes-like numbers. It was a great game.
He had three touchdowns, correct?
Three TDs. It was all around just a great performance. Benson.
I know Trey Benson had ACC Player of the Week won the honors this week.
He should have won 163 yards rushing.
He is a superstar on the rise. Like, he's about to be a superstar running back for our team.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean,
and it's crazy. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're
but
good. Go ahead.
When we got him from the portal, from Oregon, everyone's like, why would you get someone who's hurt, can't stay healthy, blah, blah, blah. Norvell.
We got running back. We got Treshawn
Mike
Ward.
Norvell and company know how to look at this transfer portal. They have had incredible success the last 2 years with the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. Trey Benson had injury concerns. Mike Norvell took a chance, trusted him, and it has showed up in a big way. The young man has been absolutely shredding defenses.
Absolutely.
And Syracuse is on a 4-game skid right now. They were 6-0, and they don't look good. And I said in the review or preview last week, Florida State should take care of business if Garrett Schrader does not play. I know he played this past week from what I saw.
Read his stats, Mike.
He looked banged up from what I heard on Twitter, saw, listened to FSU podcasts, shouldn't have been probably playing, but his stats were 6 of 16 for 65 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, with a average completion of 4.1 yards.
Read his QBR.
Average attempt, 4.1 yards, I think. I don't know.
No, that's completion. Yeah.
No, 65 divided by 6 is not. Is it 4? I don't know. Anyways.
QBR.
QBR, 7.6. I don't know what QBR stands for, but that's not good. While Jordan Travis's QBR is
85.3.
Even Tate Rodemaker, the backup, had a 24.4.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you know, QBR is QBR. It's just funny when you see it in single digits because that's really bad. And
yeah, and then Carlos Del Rio Wilson is very bad. Granted, he only had 0 of 1, but still, that game was a blowout from when it started. When it started 14-0, game was over, from what I saw on Twitter.
It was excellent. So, as someone who was watching it while bowling, you know, I have my priorities. They didn't have it on the big screen at main events, so.
Yeah, of course, ACC
little,
Network.
Little middle finger, but nah, I understand. ACC Network. So, I had it on my phone.
Wait, you mean you didn't see an As Seen on TV ads? For ACC Network, you didn't see a spatula
You know what I saw all? It was nothing but, or maybe I'm thinking, am I thinking of the right game? I don't know. I saw nothing but ACC ads. Or not AC, ESPN ads.
Yeah, ACC Network is owned by ESPN. Yeah,
but it was, those were the only commercials. It was just the same three ESPN commercials on repeat.
So they weren't advertising anything to you?
Nope.
Shocker.
It was literally, I know it for a fact because right before they were coming back from break, they would show the hockey commercial, and then they would show the hockey commercial again until they were ready to come back, and they would just cut the commercial in half. I have no idea why they did that. It was really weird. Anyway, the first drive, Jordan Travis dropped a dime, and the receivers helped him out. I don't know how many drops they had, but I don't think it was very many. The only blemish Travis had was a fumble that he lost early on, but he recovered. And he played a very, very good very good game. Defense played really well. Greedy Vance had a nice interception. It was one of those where at the end of the game, I was like, I don't want them to score. Because we've only given them up 3 points. I don't want them to score a touchdown because I want to go two games in a row without giving up a touchdown. And they were on the goal line. They should have scored, and they didn't. And we won the game, and the rest is history. Knowles' statement win. Again, Syracuse is falling, like you said, 4 straight losses now. But we're 5-3 in the conference.
We finished 5-3.
Second behind Clemson, unless somebody overtakes us.
North Carolina, would be second. Either way, we're not making – there's no ACC championship for us.
Sure. I mean, yeah, but not with Clemson. But, no, North Carolina's on the other side.
Yeah, they're on the other side. But you're talking about Atlantic.
I meant in the Atlantic. Yeah.
Yeah, we're second.
Syracuse isn't going to overtake us. NC State – I don't think
we're done with conference games. We are 5-3, and we finished.
They'd have to beat Clemson, right? Don't they play Clemson? I don't know. Who cares? But 5-3 is a good, very respectable record to end the season.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Obviously, Mike Norvell is probably going to get an extension after this year.
Mm-hmm.
He will deservedly so, in my opinion. Do you think Norvell can lead us to back to... How about contending for a national championship? Now, keep in mind, they are going to be expanding the playoff to 12 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see Norvell being the coach to lead us to the national championship or to...
In short, I know where you're getting at. In short...
Do you think he's the guy? Or do you think he's the stepping stone to the guy?
I think he can. My biggest concern, though... It's the quarterback position in the future.
Why?
I don't know what to really expect.
For me, I'm okay with... Mike Norvell has never had a game-changing quarterback. And right now, I don't think you really need one. Look at the teams right now in college football. The top four. The only one with a game-changing quarterback is Ohio State. Stetson Bennett is not a game-changing quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's not a game-changer. He's not a... I don't know if he was a 5-star recruit, but...
I thought he was a walk-on.
That's right. He was a walk-on. So, okay. You have, obviously, Bryce Young in Alabama. Alabama's struggling.
Yeah, but he's still a Heisman winner, right?
I don't think he's winning. I mean, he's a Heisman winner, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he's not a game changer for being a Heisman.
He is. I'm saying he is.
This year.
I'm saying this year Alabama's not a national championship contender.
Sure.
Ohio State is. They have C.J. Stroud. Then you have Ohio State. I'm sorry, Michigan. Cade McNamara. J.J. McCarthy. Those two are good, not great. TCU. Max Duggan.
And then
Caleb Williams, USC. You've got... I'm trying to think. Who else is in playoff consideration?
You're careful there.
Yeah, I almost dropped the mic. I'm trying to think. Who else is in playoff consideration right now? That's... Oh, LSU. Jaden Daniels. We saw what he is. He's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. Tennessee. Hendon Hooker. He's a 26-year-old quarterback. Like, I don't think you need a star quarterback right now in today's college football to win a national championship. Now, it would be very nice if you did, if you had the talent around them, but...
Mm-hmm. Like, I agree. I agree. But you need someone... we know Tate's not the guy.
Oh, hell no.
We haven't seen anything from AJ Duffy, so we don't know if he is. But my point is if AJ Duffy comes in and plays well right off the bat, with the way things have been going, progressing right now, we could be looking in the next 2-3 years to be up in those talks of like, yeah, man, we might be knocking on the door for that 12-team playoff.
I think without a doubt we will be in the playoff with the next 3 years.
Should I write that down?
Go ahead. Book it. So we are in 2022, so this season's over with.
Mm-hmm.
2023, 2024, 2025. By the end of the 2025 season, we will be in contention for the playoff. And I think going into next year, if they can keep Jordan Travis one more year, pay him $1 million, whatever it is for NIL, or I'm sorry, the NIL Rising Spear. If Jordan Travis comes back, that team is in contention to that. They should be the favorite to win the ACC.
I hope so. I would hope so.
The only competition I think is in North Carolina with Drake May. That kid is a stud.
Yeah.
So I don't think you need a stud to win a national championship anymore in a quarterback, because you have quarterbacks that are good, not great. None of these guys that are right now in college are very good, except CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, and that's about it.
Tim Hartman was pretty good for like the first half of the season.
He's gone. Thank the Lord.
Yeah, thank goodness for us.
He said today he's ready to check out and go to the NFL draft. Hey, thank goodness.
Malik Cunningham, too.
Gone. See ya. ACC is wide open. Mike Norvell can lead us to the ACC championship for the first time since 2015? 14. Yeah, 14. 14. Since Jimbo's demise.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be back. I'm telling you right now, Florida State is on the way to be back, being back to being consistently good.
Well, somebody said on the broadcast the other night, Florida State is on their way back to being Florida State.
Yep.
And because we know what Florida State has been for the whole Bobby Bowden era, which was strong, consistent.
Oh, it was not strong. It was legendary.
It was. It is.
Jimbo's was strong for 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, we'll never... RIP. You'll never have anyone like Bobby ever again, but dang.
Mark my words, Florida State will win a national title before Florida in football.
Okay. I like that. I mean, the paths that we're on right now, I can very well see that. We're already ahead of them with the coach. I mean, we've had a coach longer than them. The recruiting... Obviously, we don't recruit the best, but we've got the best transfer portal success,
And using that transfer portal success will help with the recruiting, I think. And also
I hope so.
It should. We have a top, I think, 20 class right now. So, to be honest, none of these matter.
What we already talked about, five stars, four stars.
Five stars don't matter.
As long as they play well.
As long, whatever star you are, there could be a three-star, two-star, one-star that turned out to be very good for your program. So... mark my words, those are my two predictions. Florida State by 2025 will be in the playoff, and they'll win a national championship before Florida does, and they'll break the tie with the Gators.
Oof. Ooh, giving me goosebumps.
I'm high on Mike Norvell. I really like Mike Norvell coming out of Memphis. He was a program builder. Mike Norvell is changing the culture. I never was ready to get rid of Mike Norvell.
We gave him year zero. You and I both agreed on that. Year zero
this
was there.
This is technically year two for him.
Mm-hmm.
They are on the right path. They are very
And Gator fans, you're in the same boat. Do not knock what you have right now. It's year zero. This isn't his team. 6 wins is still respectable. I mean, hell, you didn't go through what we went through, and at least this time. But
and like the worst year was Mike Norvell's year zero. The COVID class was a the COVID year was a disaster.
Yeah.
Then last year was good, not great.
Yeah, that actually really we might have been farther ahead if it wasn't for that COVID year. But anyway, regardless, I like your takes. I appreciate them. Another guy. I don't know if you call it year zero in the pros or not, but Dougie P. Jacksonville Jaguars drop a okay game to the Kansas City Chiefs. 27-17 is the final on that one. Did you get to watch that game, Mike?
No.
Damn. I understand. You were busy this weekend.
Yeah, I was in Michigan.
Yeah. The 7-2 Chiefs are one of the best teams in the league. We lose by 10 points. We leave for sure 6 points because of 2 missed field goals. But we also have a couple other opportunities that we blow. So have you watched any highlights or done anything, watched the game or heard about anything about the game?
I saw that people freaking out over the opening kickoff because I know we did an onside kick to start the game.
Onside kick to start the game. We recover. You get hyped. 3-0.
Yeah, that's it's bad.
It was tough. It was some costly mistakes that hurt us. An illegal man downfield on Cam. I think it was Cam Robinson at that point in the red zone where we scored a touchdown and it was called back. That one hurts. You have, again, like I mentioned, the missed field goals. You just have some ticky-tacky things. You know how many penalties the Chiefs had, Mike?
Zero.
0 for 0.
Yeah, I saw that stat. And we had, like, I think 7.
We had 5 for 30. Not bad, truthfully.
What I understood from everyone on Twitter, talking to friends this week, I've not rewatched the game. I don't really care. I'm not mad because I wanted to stay close to the Chiefs. And we kind of
10 points
did.
Is respectable.
We kind of did. And we also four. The thing is, we had 3 turnovers on them, right?
They the Chiefs forced 3 turnovers. Yes.
And we couldn't
capitalize.
Thank you. That was what I was looking for. Like, that's a problem for me. But also, the fact that you only lost by 10 when you should have really been blown out.
Mm-hmm.
Just basing on the total yards, you can see almost 500 yards the Chiefs put up versus 300.
Yeah. And to piggyback off what you just said about the turnovers and capitalizing on it, those are multi-level issues right there. So, like, the first level, which is what we're trying to get better at this year, I think, is just forcing that turnover. And we did. 3 turnovers against the Chiefs is nothing to scoff at.
Especially Patrick Mahomes.
And Patrick Mahomes, yeah. And next year, we should be more upset if they're not capitalizing on it. Again, I'm not saying that I'm not upset that we didn't, because we definitely should have capitalized, but it's not to the point where, you know, you talked about it, and I've been more on your train as of lately. I don't know. I'm feeling a little positive right now, but, like, you know, we know what this season is, and getting those turnovers is more important to me right now than capitalizing on them.
I agree. And it's all about growth this year. We're trying to improve the team, trying to help this team get better. And from last year, it can't be much worse. Last year was a complete disaster. Now we're walking. Last year, we kept falling on our face. Think about, like, as a toddler, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a terrible analogy.
No, I'm picturing it. I got my eyes closed. Keep going.
Last year, you are a baby being taken care of by a baby.
Oh gosh. Not boss baby, though.
No.
Okay.
You are pooping in your pants. You are throwing up. You are getting in fights as babies.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't seem like it'd be very
successful.
That was
Urban Meyer with the Jaguars. Now,
mm-hmm. I figure.
Mm-hmm. When Doug Peterson comes in, you have your real... this is so bad. Parents or babysitter taking care of you.
You have Tommy Pickles.
No. You have parents, babysitter taking care of you. Now you are walking. You're still messing up. You run into walls. You run into doors.
But you're getting fed properly.
You get fed. You get taken care of. You get told not to do something. I mean, this is a terrible analogy, but I'm going with this.
This is fun.
I'm going with this. But you walk into walls. You hit your toes on the doors. You burn your hand. Your parents tell you no. You are getting taught what to do and what not to do. Now, next year, you are in the teenager phase.
We jumped up.
We're jumping up. We're moving. Sheesh. But think about it. You go from you're walking to, like, the beginning of the year, you were walking. And now, in the middle of the year, you're being taught what you're, let's say, 8 years old, 9 years old. Now, you're a teenager going into next year. And then, in year four, I'm just year four under Trevor as our quarterback, mm-hmm. you are talking about an adult. Like, you are looking to contend. Now, this is an analogy that probably doesn't make any sense. And listeners, I apologize if this is confusing, but I'm telling you, in year four of Trevor Lawrence, I expect the Jaguars to be contending for a Super Bowl.
A Super Bowl?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I just recorded that and put it on our story. Oh, it was perfect timing. Wow. I mean, hey, those are some aspirations I can get behind, though. I want to get to a Super Bowl.
Not this this year is done. Not next year. The year after. So in the 2024 season, the Jaguars, I believe, will be going to the Super Bowl. In the contention for Super Bowl.
Okay. Sheesh. I can hope so.
Can I see 2024 schedule?
You looked that up. I can. I need to backtrack real quick before that.
This is interesting.
I do have to mention, though, that it is a little disappointing. It's only the third time in Jags history that we lost despite a +3 turnover margin. The other two times, 2000 against the Bengals.
AFC North rivalry.
They allowed 10 points in the last minute and 15 seconds. And then 2009 against the Dolphins, we allowed 220 pass yards from future Jag Chad Henne.
Was that against the Chiefs as well?
That was the Dolphins, I said.
Oh, Dolphins. Why am I thinking Chad Henne was on the Chiefs?
He might have been. I don't know.
No, he's on the Chiefs now. I'm crazy.
Oh, is he? Is he still there?
I think he's still on the Chiefs.
Let's go look. I've got the Chiefs up. Might as well.
But, okay, so...
Keep talking.
What do you think we finish with this year? Like, are you looking at the... I know you said a few weeks ago you're not looking towards draft.
He is the backup, yep.
You're not looking towards draft. I am, and I have a draft name coming up. Sure. But what do you... Now the Jags are hitting a bye week, which...
Much needed.
I always say it seems like a much needed bye week. So what do you think is a fair expectation going forward with our schedule? Oof. So I'll go over the schedule real quick. I have it up. All right. Jaguars have, when they come back from the bye, Ravens at home.
Loss,
okay. At the Lions.
I'll give us a win there.
At the Titans.
Loss.
Dallas at home.
Loss.
Jets on the road. So we go to New York or New Jersey.
I can't pick us to lose to the Jets. I'm picking win there.
Okay. Texans on the road. So we go to Houston.
Oh, man. Loss.
Loss?
Yeah, we lose. We lose.
Oh, gosh. Tennessee at home. Fan Appreciation Day.
Nah, we'll win that one. Fine. Whatever. And I'll just make those last two interchangeable anyway. So
three wins. Four losses. So you have the Jags to six wins and making me lose money for my futures bet on the Jaguars. So 6 wins is what you're thinking. So 6-11.
Yeah.
Would you call that a successful season?
Absolutely.
I would too.
6 wins? Are you kidding me? After what, one last year?
Well, three.
Three?
Urban had two.
Felt like one.
Felt like zero.
That is absolutely. I think we talked about that preseason, that if we get 6, 7, 8 wins, obviously 7, 8 would be gorgeous, but getting just 6 is an improvement. Our preseason predictions, no way coming true. 9 wins for me, 11 for Skyler, 7 for you is still obtainable.
4-3 down the
stretch. You had us winning 3 games after the bye.
So just like what you originally thought. Mm-hmm. So I actually had us going 4 wins, 4-6 going into the bye. I'm at 3-6. I'm pretty spot on.
Yeah, no, we were way off. Skyler and I were way off.
Because you guys are the positive people. I was the negative Nancy.
Yeah, well, then I got negative, and now I'm being positive again. So
what was my...
This is what the Jags do to you.
So how do you feel your confidence in Trevor Lawrence now after 10 games this year? Because everyone was panicking a few weeks ago, Trevor. How do you feel now? He's played some good games recently.
He has. He just needs to find the consistency. If he can do what he's done the last 3-4 games, that's fine with me. No stupid throws. He didn't have a single stupid throw against the Chiefs. He had actually some, I don't want to say amazing, but like very good throws against the Chiefs.
Uh-huh.
Again, you didn't watch, you didn't see, but there was some nice like leading guys perfect. He had passes that went downfield, Mike. I had it. I don't know where I put it.
All right, so just going back I posted this poll a month ago. Jags fans, how worried are you about Trevor Lawrence? This was on October 10th. This was after the Houston game. So we were 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
2-3. 18%. So 62 votes came in. 18% said he'll be fine. 29% just some mistakes to fix. 42% I'm very worried. 11% I've given up. I'm not doing the math on that. You at home can do that, or you can go to my Twitter poll, find it. I'm not sending it to anyone. too much work. Unless you want me to send it to you, I can pull it up. What's your answer now, after a month later? So through 10 games, so would you say he'll be fine? Just some mistakes to fix?
Just some mistakes to fix. Because I think he's on the path of fixing those, but he's not all the way there. He hasn't sold me just yet. He needs to go a couple more games.
So now, what did you originally vote?
Do I need to go look on my Twitter?
I just sent you the poll so you can look it up.
Okay.
So you can see what you voted.
I guess I didn't vote. There's no check mark next to anything.
Did you vote on Dimes on Duval's account?
No. I don't think I voted on this one. My bad. Sometimes I miss your polls.
I think you voted. I'm very worried because I'm pretty sure we talked about it before.
Probably.
But yeah, so you're saying just some mistakes to fix. I'm still confident in Trevor Lawrence. I do believe in Trevor Lawrence. I think he's a very good quarterback. Christian Kirk balled the hell out Sunday.
Yes, he did.
He is showing he's worth the money. And there was a tweet today. Can you name me the last... I mean, I don't know if this is exact, but I'm just showing you what someone tweeted. The Jags fan. How long has it been since we've had a player in the top 10 in each category? Trevor Lawrence is currently number 8 in passing yards in the league after Sunday week 10. Etienne is number 9 in rushing yards after week 10. Christian Kirk is number 10 in receiving yards after week 10. When's the last time we had 3 different players? I don't know the answer to that, but I'm just like, when do you think that would be?
I mean, do you think we could have squeaked in 17? I don't think so.
17? I don't think
offense wasn't good enough.
No, just because of Blake.
Yeah.
So in my honest opinion, I think it might have been since the Jimmy days, the 90s. It
very well could be. I don't think of another. I can't think. Maybe a Gerard year?
Maybe. But
he would have been like 10th, but like MJD would have been higher. And
like, here's a crazy fact also. In the passing yards leaders, Lawrence is the only quarterback out of the second year guys in the top 10.
Well, yeah, everyone's – I'm not going to say everyone, but certain people are super H-O-R-N-Y for Justin Fields because he's a running
back. I like Justin Fields. I think
he's more of the running back than a quarterback.
The thing is, he wasn't like that in college, but the thing is the Bears are letting him run.
Because they can't – he's no one to throw to except for Cole Kmet.
And Chase Claypool.
Is that his name?
Yeah, Cole Kmet, yeah. But the thing is, Justin Fields –
Well, he just got him. Yeah. Okay.
Justin Fields is number 6 in rushing yards, which is nuts to me.
Etienne is 3rd in the league in yards after contact.
Yeah, so I'm not worried about Trevor Lawrence. This offense is fine. Adding Calvin Ridley too, by the way, next year.
That's only going to improve. I thought about it more, and it's like, you know, right now it doesn't help us, but next year it certainly does.
And for me, the biggest focus going into the draft next year, and I'm saying draft, fuck everyone else who thinks I'm crazy from my draft after
I'm not believing 11 any games, of these 10 efforts. Games. You've said too many.
I don't care.
I'd be up all night.
We need to address this defense. This defense is not great. You have some players that are not very good. But
oh, you're just being sweet.
Yeah, I'm being very sweet after the cussing I've had. But Josh Allen, I'm sorry, gotta go. He's just not good.
Okay, so did you see the Jaguars post today about the Pro Bowl?
Yes, and I retweeted Rayshon Jenkins is pissed.
But did you see who tops that list?
One second while I pull up.
I got it right here. Josh Allen.
Yeah, I don't know why he's on that list.
Looking at that list, Josh Allen, hell no. Tyson Campbell.
Okay.
He's been he's been one of the top players on defense.
Cisco, no.
Cisco, no. Except for that last game.
Against the Chiefs?
Clean hit.
Yes, I saw the highlight. Yeah, it was clean. It just the refs had to call it. They had to.
The thing is, for all of you people that don't think it was clean, What do you expect the guy to do?
It's also...
He didn't launch.
It's just the visuals. They had to call a flag.
Absolutely. No, they picked up the flag.
Oh, they did. I just saw
No, they picked it up. Okay. They said no call. And that's why Chiefs fans were pissed. They were booing and stuff like that. But is the defender in that situation supposed to just take a step back, let the guy complete the pass, and then two-hand tag him? No. That's a whole nother topic. Anyway, Cisco, no. Logan Cook, LOL, just because our punter is always our best player, it feels like. Etienne?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Arguably, yes.
Yeah. I mean he's a fringe guy. A couple guys say no. He could definitely be in there.
Christian Kirk, you can make an argument for.
Sure.
Trevor Lawrence, T-Law? No.
No. Aluakon? Brandon Sheriff?
No.
I mean, he's been going every game except for this past game. He was actually awful last
game. Yeah, I heard that he has been pretty bad this game. Granted, he did against an all-pro in Chris Jones. But... Yeah,
they did like the PFF thing or whatever, the grades, and after the game, like he was the worst-rated O-lineman, even with the penalties on the other guys.
Yeah, but no, I honestly think only two max on this Jaguars team are Pro Bowlers. Max.
Keith Manzi and Mike Yashi.
Of course, but... But no, it's Christian Kirk and Travis Etienne. Other than that, the list can go to the trash.
No love for Campbell? No love for Jenkins?
I just think the corners are loaded this year in the NFL.
Yeah, true.
You got Sauce Gardner. You got Sauce Gardner. Yeah, Sauce Gardner's he's a lock for the
head and shoulders above, yeah. Rayshon Jenkins saying he's the NFL leader amongst all safeties and pass deflections.
He was pissed on Instagram.
He was not happy. But hey, but you also know what? Jenkins good. Light a fire. Go play better.
I don't know.
Go intercept somebody.
Oh my gosh, Joe. John Morant is such a beast.
Stop. We're getting off topic now.
I just saw a half-court shot and he just swished it.
Yeah, he is very good at what he does. Let's wrap this baby up, shall we?
All right.
So, local update. I just want to mention two quick things.
Fuck you, JEA.
Yes. Again, thank you for the F words. Mr. Potato Spread. You heard of him?
Yeah, they were a food truck that came to Florida Blue when I was working in office.
Well, like they have a brick and mortar now on JTB, right at the corner of Phillips Highway and JTB. Their grand opening is this Saturday at 10:30 a.m.
Wait, they haven't been open?
I don't know. Maybe they've been like a soft open kind of thing where you could go. I swear
for like 4 months now, 5 months, they've had that sign up. I guess it does take a while to develop a brick and mortar, like a restaurant.
It does. You know, whatever was in there before may have been really
ready for a restaurant.
Unready for that. But yeah, they've got tots, they've got loaded potatoes, they've got fries. Whatever you want, your potato needs are met with Mr. Potato Spread. So go check them out. Enjoy some very, very fatty foods.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're going to make sure you don't eat anything, then go there and eat because that's a meal for a day.
Yeah, it's like eating a brick.
It's good, though. It's very good.
I'm sure it is. Next up is the 904 pop-up. And Lightboat Parade is happening not this weekend, but next weekend, the November 26th from 4 to 9. It is Small Business Saturday, so they're going to invite people to come out, shop the small businesses, hang out for the evening. They always do a boat parade on the St. John's River. So it's right where the landing was, of course. We all know where that is. Go check them out. Do some shopping. And it's free, pet friendly. Have a good time and just watch some really creative boats. I've been in my mom's apartment a couple times when it's been going on, and there are some fun boats that come through there. And last but not least, Mike, we would be remiss if we did not have a Nerdy Nuts update.
Let's do it.
I have no new flavors that I can find.
Well,
you named them all last week. I was like, oh, let me go look and see what's new. Oh, butterbeer again.
Yeah, I think.
Wait, what's today? Tuesday? They dropped the new releases on Wednesday. So if you want, check them out on Instagram. They go live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Excuse me, to announce their new flavors for the upcoming weekend. I may have said that wrong. No, their new flavor. No, I'm correct. And then those new flavors will drop on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern time.
On their website.
Yes, on their website. Make sure you are there very close to 7 p.m. because they sell out like that.
Yeah, I've actually had that. I forgot what flavor I was going to buy. I go on like 7:30, it's sold out. So they do sell out
quick. I mean, people have been talking about it so much lately. That Pearl Jam one, everybody wanted apparently. It sold out in a minute and a half, I think. I like peanut butter, but hey, congrats to you people that did get it. I'm jealous. They are also going to be restocking their dog treats soon, too. So you've got a puppy this holiday season that likes peanut butter. Hook them up.
Yeah, no, I need to look and see what flavors I can get for the holiday season coming up because I'm going to be...
I think that this next go-round, this week's drop, is going to be holiday-themed. It's got to be.
Like Christmas-themed?
Maybe. You know, maybe they'll wait till Thanksgiving.
They're going to have to wait till Thanksgiving.
They can get away with it. Well, 96.1 is already playing Christmas music.
That's because they're a radio station, and they play to the popular people, or to what people love to hear, and that's Christmas music around this time.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You a Christmas music guy or not?
I can be, but I think it should be done after Thanksgiving. Like, I'm a post-Thanksgiving type of guy.
Thanksgiving night, I'll start listening.
Fair. Have you start? I was in Michigan this past weekend visiting my girlfriend, and have you ever seen the movie Four Christmases?
I don't think so.
It's with Vince Vaughn. I can't remember the actress's
name.
Oh,
no, I have not. I know what that is, no.
That was the first time I've seen it. It's a pretty funny movie.
Four Christmases. Yeah. I assume it's because they have to celebrate like four Christmases, four different houses.
Yes.
Like divorced parents or
yep,
something.
Both yeah. had divorced parents. Yep.
Oh, Reese Witherspoon. That's Tim McGraw's in it.
That's John who the Favre. Actor was. I could not remember the name of one of the characters. Tim McGraw. That's who it was.
Tim McGraw. Wow. Well, I'll have to check that one out.
It's on. So only reason we saw it is it's on Hulu, but it was record. It was on TBS one night when I was there that weekend. Yeah. So she recorded
it's on TNT
it.
TNT and TBS this week.
We recorded it, and we watched it Sunday before I left, so definitely a good movie.
If you guys don't do that by now, go on to whatever your cable provider is or YouTube TV or whatever. Search a movie that you want to watch and just have it record for whenever it's next time on, especially with the holidays coming up. There's going to be a lot of Christmas movies that play, and they'll be playing at like 3 in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can't watch that. Record yeah. it and then just go back and watch it later.
It's 2022 record stuff
yeah,
at this point.
It's a game changer.
Should we talk about what our favorite Christmas movie is now or do we wait till later?
Oh, no, we'll wait. I think we've done that before, too, so we can go back and research.
Have we?
And, yeah. I think we did a draft.
We did a draft.
Draft, that's what it was. But we'll talk more about the holidays as they come around.
What's your favorite cookie? Because we're getting that cookie type of season right now.
No. That is so tough. My mom makes like three really good cookies.
Gotta pick one.
It's between her peanut butter chocolate chip, which is great. I'm gonna leave out a regular chocolate chip just because it's kind of plain. I don't have to eat that during Christmas time, so you know I'll leave that one out. Peanut butter chocolate chip, her raspberry thumbprints, or her gingerbread. I'm going with the raspberry thumbprints, man. It's like a shortbread cookie with just a little bit of raspberry jam.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I'm drooling. I'm drooling thinking about it right now. But I'm a fudge guy.
Okay.
I love my mom's fudge. What about you?
I don't know. Like, I'm a fat ass. I like cookies. I love cookies.
Join the club, brother.
So, I mean, my favorite, I love a fresh, hot, or not like hot, but like fresh chocolate chip cookie, man. They hit the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Although snickerdoodles are good.
Amazing.
I like snickerdoodles. They're very good. chocolate chip. And I think oatmeal raisin are highly slept on. People hate them. I think they're good.
I love oatmeal cookies.
Oatmeal cookies
are
good.
But just take out the raisins. I don't need a raisin.
Well, great.
It doesn't
it's
do anything
good.
For me.
It's good.
Nah.
Such a hater.
I don't need it.
Such a
hater. I'll leave this up to you guys too, the listeners. I'll post this clip and have you guys drop your favorite holiday cookies or just favorite cookie. I don't really care. In the comments below. But
do you think the last thing before on cookies?
Yeah.
Do you think the cookie with the icing or frosting, whatever the fake
you're
frosting.
Talking about the Publix ones?
Yeah, the Publix
those
cookies.
Those are fucking amazing.
Yes, I am with you. People hate those for no reason.
Oh, it's one of the most controversial cookies of all time. It's either you love it or you hate it.
I like them.
I love them, man.
Really? I like them.
When I was a kid
love.
And it was like somebody's birthday and they brought those in, I was like, oh, bro, happy birthday. I love you, man. Or I love you, girl. Man, you're the best. Those cookies are so good. Just like cookie cake. Oh, we could talk about cookies for hours.
We might need an episode in the summer when there's nothing going on. Oh, one food. Last local update. Not really a local update. National update. Worldwide update. World Cup starts this Sunday.
If, oh, God.
Yeah, Sunday morning.
Right off the bat, who you got?
Winning it all?
I got Argentina.
Winning the World Cup. Give me Germany.
All right, cool. There's our two guesses right there. Argentina and Germany. We'll see what happens. USA make it out of the group stage?
No.
No. Okay, cool. We're on the same page there. Thank you guys for tuning in to episode 79 of Times on Duval. He's Mike Yazgi. I'm Keith Manzi signing off, and we'll catch you next time.
Michael Mayer, tight end, Notre Dame.